This is a passage where Paul and Barnabas were sharing the gospel with people in Asia in their mission trip. And it amazed me how when they were preaching the gospel and bringing people to the faith of the Lord, they also took the time and the opportunity to go back and strengthen the brothers and encourage them going back to where they came from in many of the times. And in verse 21, it says, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. We had a tremendous time down in Mexico this last week and a half that we spent down there. And before we have our brothers share their perspective of it, I'd like to give you a little background of what happened over there. In 1993, I became a Christian in one of the congregations in my town. And a couple of years later, that church, through a big splitting, pretty much quit gathering and preaching the Word of God. So I switched to another church in the same town that was over there, and I was able to serve God over there from 1996, around 2000, 2002, when I started coming to America more permanently. And so I had the opportunity to know this pastor. That the first church eventually got up again, and they start ministering to the Lord in that community, but I stayed on the second church where I was going, and through that time, God really used those churches in my life to strengthen me and give me a foundation and in a discipleship. And later on, in 2002, 2003, I came to America and I started living full time here. I got married to my wife, which belonged to another congregation in the same community. And in 2004, we started having a Bible study here in the county. We were going to church to Longmont, and at that time, Pastor Doug came to me and he said, we're looking to make an outreach to the Hispanic community in the valley. And we want to have a Hispanic ministry. And I said, that's awesome. We're praying for that. We want a ministry up here where we can serve the Lord. And we were going every weekend to Longmont, and that was really good. And we start praying, we start seeking, and it's hard. It's hard for a pastor to come from away here. The winters are long. The cold is too cold up here, and so every time we talk, he said, "Well, nobody wants to come. Nobody wants to establish himself up here and start a ministry." And we had this Bible study where we have about eight people meeting, and he said, "Why don't you start using the facility?" And I thought, "I mean, we're eight people. What are we going to do over there?" He said, "Well, when you start using the facility, somebody's going to pick up the vision, and they're going to say, 'Well, the ministry is already started. We need to support it.'" So we did, and through 7 months, we start gathering here. We were about 14, 15 people at that time. And 7 months later, my wife was pregnant, and I was ready to become an usher of the church or something else. I didn't want to be leading the ministry, and I told Pastor Doug and the elders, "I'm ready to move on, Pastor Doug. You need to bring that pastor that you promised." And he said, "Well, nobody wants to come." And I said, "I got too much in my plate, and this is too much." And he said, "The elders and I, we think we need to support you, and we need to encourage you to move on into full-time ministry." And I was fearing that, but I didn't want to say that to Pastor Doug. So we prayed, and we decided that we were gonna trust in the Lord and walk in faith. But we had to go to Mexico for a period of time to get a visa in order to be able to work as a religious worker up here. And so we went to Mexico in February of 2007, and we were going to go for 2 weeks. We ended up staying 5 months down there. And in those 5 months, we didn't have a church. My wife belonged to a church back then, and I had these two churches that I belonged at some point in time. But I felt like, well, let's go and just visit all the churches. There are 6 churches in this community, and I thought it'd be good to just support the pastors and see what they need. Maybe we can be Sunday school teachers or help with the kids. My wife loved that. So we become involved in every church over there. And pretty soon they start having a share, and I start sharing with them. And pastors will ask me and say, "How come you didn't come to church on Sunday?" I say, "Well, I was preaching and such," and they kind of be offended about it. And I start noticing there was this division and struggle among the pastors over there. And I said, "I'm here to serve everyone. the whole church, not just the congregations. And they were offended by that. And they were resented with the other pastors and struggling. And in my heart at that time, I start praying and hoping that at one point in time, someone will go from outside and unite these six pastors, these six congregations, and just bring them to unity. They had so much to do, but they were so dysfunctional because they were always fighting. And I thought, Lord, you need to bring someone with passion and with courage and wisdom and the foundation of the Word, and bring them to unity. And this verse right here reminded me of what Paul was doing in these churches. And I always kept that in my heart. 4 years went by. We stayed here full time, my wife and I. And last year in the month of June, we had the opportunity to travel back to our hometown. And as we did, I called some of the pastors and I made a meeting with them. And I said, we're here to spend a couple of weeks and we want to know your needs. And we're even thinking that probably in the future, make an outreach here from our church in Winter Park and just bring some people to serve and to build and to do something. But I noticed there was still this struggle among the pastors, and things haven't changed much, but it was for the worse. The cartel took place in that community, and there was oppression now from the cartel. There's a drought that has been taking place for the last 22 years over there. So people is looking for work. The farmers have not much to do, and it's a sad situation. So I start praying, and I say, Lord, what do you want us to do? So in my heart, I had the hope to take a missionary from our church and have him share down in Mexico. So that's what we were planning. I start talking to some of the people, and really the ones who wanted it to go, and God really put this trip together. And some of the guys, Gregorio and Peter and Pancho, they came to me and start saying, we want to go down there. We want to serve. And on the end, the missionary couldn't make it. He had so many personal issues. But we went over there. And as I shared a couple of weeks ago, we went with a humble heart. We went in a condition of brokenness and saying, Lord, what do you want to do in this community? And how you want to use us among these people? And, you know, these guys that went with me, they really had the opportunity to serve and to minister to people. And when we went over there, I said, we're going over there and we're going to share the gospel. We're going to preach to people. We're going to pray for them and we're going to share our testimonies. And I'd like to have them share from their perspective some of the things that they find over there. So, Brother Greg, why don't you come and share?
Buenos dias. Is it still dias? Okay. First and foremost, I have to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With Him, all things are possible. Thank you, Jesus. It started a week before they were going to go down with me on this journey of God. And, you know, they were missing one person. And so I had a chance. I told Samuel after the service, I go, I'd like to go to Mexico with you on this service. You know, I don't know how God could use me, but I would like to go. And then as soon as I got home that evening, I started getting a sore throat, you know. And I'm telling you, I started praying during the week that I get a little better. And I'm going, please, God, cure this ailment so I can go on this mission. I don't want to infect anybody. I don't want anybody else to get sick. And Saturday night, you know, Samuel told us that you all were going to pray for us come Sunday morning and stuff. And I'm going, please, God, cure me. Well, about 2 in the morning, I started running a terrible fever. And I was so congested. And I go, God, don't you want me to go on this mission? And I got up early in the morning and I called Samuel. I know he's got kids and I know he's going to church. I caught him early and I go, Samuel, I can't go on this mission. I go, I'm too sick. I'm going to infect people and stuff. And Samuel was silent on the other end. And he went on to church, and my wife, my lovely wife Janelle, told me, why don't we go see the doctor? We'll go to the emergency ward. Maybe you won't infect people. You know, maybe you have something else. And so, you know, guys, I think as we get older, we turn into more little boys, you know. And like my mom goes, come on, let's go to the doctor. Well, I listened. She took me to the doctor, and the doctor said, you have a sinus infection. You're not contagious. You won't infect anybody. and I'll prescribe some antibiotics for you. And so we went to get my antibiotics and stuff, and the pharmacist there, he goes, boy, he goes, you can't time this any better. You're getting antibiotics right before you're going to Mexico. He says, you could drink out of the river and be all right. Praise God. It's amazing how God works, isn't it? And I'll tell you, we went down on this mission, and we went down there lighthearted. We went down, and we're going, oh, we're on a mission from God. We're going to go on a mission. And when we came back, we go, we were on a mission from God. I also want to thank Samuel's parents. His mother's here today. And they were just amazing people down there. And Dahlia's parents and brother and sister, what amazing. You can't outgive God. These people were such a blessing to us. I'll share one little story here. It was about the water had gone out at Marguerite's, that's Dahlia's mom's house. And so we had to go to Samuel's mom and dad's house. And over there, imagine this, their hot water heaters, you don't just turn on the hot water. They have to start a fire under this canister and build a heat so that you get warm water to take a shower. So only the Lord knows when they got up to heat the shower for us. And, you know, that's the way our day started. And like I say, you just can't outgive God. But we hit the ground running over there. We started visiting pastors right away. And to me, it seems like these pastors have afflictions. You know, little problems, all of them. Started off with Pastor Francisco, and this man can eat food, but he doesn't retain it any, and he's just turning into bones. And when you hug him, there's nothing there but a skeleton. And of course, we were able to pray for him and stuff. And he had a son there, and that little boy came when I had to give my testimony and stuff, and he was just like I was his grandfather. He hugged me and loved me. Oh, he gave me comfort over there. And then we moved on. We visited Pastor Jose. Well, everybody wants Pastor Samuel to preach at their service. Everybody. There wasn't enough time in the day for us. And Pastor Jose set us up for the next night to come and pray. And then we moved on and we met this lady. We stopped at a house. It was a never anything in the Spirit was just moving with us and stuff. We stopped at a lady's house, Christina, and her husband, Hector. And he's not a Christian, but she's a Christian. And she was sharing a little bit about her life with us. And she's kind of terrorized by demons at night. She hears these voices and stuff. And Samuel was able just to put his hands on her, and we shared hands, and we blessed her with the Holy Spirit. And tried to drive those spirits out of that house. Now, her husband, Hector, he had lost his job. And so these people had nothing. They have nothing. And I'll just throw in a sidebar, kind of skipped over. But everywhere you go down in Mexico, they share Coca-Cola with you. No matter how rich, no matter how poor, you're going to have a glass of Coca-Cola. Well, Hector and Christina's house was no different. Here comes a little glass of Coca-Cola. Now, these people have nothing, and I know it was their last bit of meat and stuff they were going to eat for lunch. But they broke it out and they shared with us. We were able to share the love of the Lord, but, yeah, Pete. But unbelievable how these people give and give and give. So, you know, from there, the next night we had to go over and we went out to a service at Pastor Jose's church. And Pastor Samuel got up and started sharing the Word of God. And as he shared the Word of God, the Holy Spirit started filling this building over there. Okay. Now the three of us, Jason, myself, and Pedro there, we were able to get up and we were the worship service. Imagine that. You know, I sit in that row where Doug is right there, and I never get out of my seat, you know, and I do a little praise Jesus once in a while. Here I am singing in front of the congregation, praise Jesus. Man, powerful, powerful. Holy Spirit's starting to fill this room. Now, Samuel had asked us to share a little bit up there, and we were able to do that by God's grace. And then they have what they have, an altar call over there. And people come up and they accept Jesus Christ. or they'll come up and they'll ask for prayers in their life and stuff. And Pastor Samuel had asked us if we wouldn't go put our hands on people. Us. God could use everybody. We're able to go forward and we put our hands on people and started praying. And I put my hands on an elderly lady there, and Pastor Samuel was blessing her. And I started praising Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise His name. And boom! The Holy Spirit filled this lady and knocked her down. And Jason and I, we grabbed her before she hit the ground over there. The Spirit was so strong in this building, you can't even imagine. I've never seen anything like it. It was amazing. Then I went and put my hands on a big gentleman, bigger than Pastor Doug. And I barely got out the name, Praise Jesus. And boom, the Spirit knocks this big guy down. And it scared me. You know, I've never seen nothing like that. I've never seen the Holy Spirit move like that. I thought it was all fake baloney. Oh, no, powerful, powerful. I was able to put my hands on Pastor Jose and pray a little bit. But it just zapped the energy out of me, and I had to go sit down in my seat. But it was a truly, truly moving experience of the way the Holy Spirit moved in that church that night. And we went and visited a man, too, that was Pastor Ulrico. And I kind of left him out there, and I didn't want to leave him out. This man's a powerful preacher, too. And he's funny. No matter what you say, if you say good morning to you, hallelujah, Lord. How's the weather? Hallelujah, Lord. Now, Pedro, he shared with us in his English there, he said, hey, hallelujah is the same in English and Spanish. And I go, oh, praise God. And I forgot a short. This was how bad my Spanish was, okay? Is when we went to Samuel's mom and dad's house, you know, I'm a proud great-grandfather of a little girl named Emily Rose. And I wanted to share that with him, share a little bit of my heart. And when I got done speaking and stuff, Pete looked at me and he goes, you're Spanish, man. He goes, you just told him that you're a great-grandmother and your name's Emily Rose. Oh, yeah. And so my mission then was to teach the whole town English. And, you know, that was part of my mission that I was on, is teach that town English. From there, we went to a lady's house and opened the door, and her leg's cut off. And she's sitting in a wheelchair. And, you know, Pastor Samuel pushes you past with the help of God. But we were able to push past the feelings. You know, I'm kind of shy. I don't want to put my hands on people and stuff. But the Holy Spirit, He can use you. He gives you the strength. Now this lady starts sharing her story. So cruel. About her daughter, Yessie. And she had lupus. And she had died the year before. I told Pastor Samuel, stop, stop. I go, it's not her leg, it's her heart that's broke. God was able to share my son's death with her, that it was killed in an accident. Well, this lady just started crying. And God moved me, and I had to go just hold her and pray with her. Only our God can take a disaster and make it a blessing. Praise God. But from there, the whole trip was just amazing. The Holy Spirit led us. We were led by the Spirit. We went to a place, and they call it an orphanage in Mexico. We call it Craig Hospital here. It's no orphanage. People are crippled, quadriplegic. There's people with no brains there. I'm telling you, they can sit in a chair. That's all. But boy, we brought the power of God there. Samuel and his brother-in-law, Oscar, they were able to sing and bless God and share a lot of songs and stuff. And we met a man there who was blind. His back was broke. He lost his memory. Couldn't get out of his wheelchair. And what had happened was he'd received an inheritance, some money, and 10 men had jumped him and beat him and broke his back. And they killed him. This man shared with us, Jesus Christ brought him back to life. Believe it. Jesus brought him back to life. Now, Pastor Samuel started singing over there, okay, and praising God. This man started singing some Christian songs. Now, he stopped singing. This man started quoting scripture. Word for word. Word for word, God moved on him. Incredible. Powerful. Things we don't see. Things I don't believe. Thank you, Lord. But the whole trip, I can't thank you enough for praying for us and helping us be led by the Spirit on this trip. What a powerful trip. I've never seen God move like this in my life. And I want to thank you all for your prayers. You don't know how strong your prayers are till you really need them. Thank you. And when we left that place, I'm going to tell you, we were able to say on our way home, we were on a mission from God. And I thank you. And of course, I thank Jesus, but I thank you for listening to our story. And I just pray the God's blessing on all you and your families. And thank you for letting me share today. Thank you, Pastor.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? You know, so many times we get into this complacency. It's too easy to fall into complacency. And when you go to places where there's oppression and needs, and people get desperate for God in such a way that they're hungry, and when they see you and they're looking for hope and for words of encouragement, they're just, you can see their faces. And you know, when you get to that situation, the only thing you want to do is just pray with them, pray for them and bless them to some way. And this is what God took us to do down there. And you know, Greg was a comforter. He started praying for people like this lady who lost her daughter, and he went through that, and that was a tremendous blessing, how he just got over there and started sharing. I was able to translate for him, and I mean, God used him in a way that I never thought. And what an amazing thing God can do through someone who really gets available to God. Also, our brother Jason, he went over there, and you know, we were fixing their toilets, we were cleaning bathrooms, we were painting bathrooms in the churches in this orphanage, and I kept saying, Jason, you got to hurry up, we have a service to meet tonight. And he was like, well, you got American parts and you got Mexican toilets. They don't work together. I said, we got to make them work, brother. We got to go. So God really helped him, and we did a great job in these places. Come on, Jason. Come and share with your brothers. Tremendous time over there.
As Greg shared at his start, again, I have to thank and praise Jesus for what he does for us in our lives. And this trip was absolutely amazing in that sense that, you know, he gave all of us the ability to separate ourselves from his will, the way he works in our lives, the way that he, the Holy Spirit can just overwhelm you and use you in ways that you never could imagine. I grew up in this county, and I know a lot of you. I've known a lot of you a long time. You know, a lot of you know that I came from a pretty wild background. I was rowdy, partied. A lot of you know my testimony. A lot of you know that I've even faltered and swayed in my walk since I've accepted Jesus in my life. And we went down there, and the Holy Spirit moved and worked through all of us in ways I could never imagine. Never would have imagined that the Holy Spirit and the Lord would utilize me in the way that He did, being the wretch that I've been in my life. It was amazing. It really was. I have to apologize. It's hard to talk about some of these things without getting choked up a little bit. But I grew up a hard life, and like I said, I was really rowdy and rough. I had a hard heart. And back in 2009, the Lord, I prayed to God that He would soften my heart, that He would change my focus, and because I knew it wasn't where it needed to be. And boy, He changed it in a way I never would have asked for, by giving me a heart attack, and at 38 years old, and really softened my heart in that manner, and really opened up my eyes to a lot of things. When we went down there, just saw some of the most amazing things in my life. Oppression like you guys could never imagine. Oppression from every corner that it could possibly come from towards these people. As Samuel was saying, the drought that's been there. When we pulled into town there, into Ignacio Zaragoza, there was, Samuel was just pointing out all these areas. Oh, this area used to be so plush and green, and it was so beautiful, and just a light wind, and the thermals that were going on were just raising up these dust clouds that you couldn't imagine because the place is so dry. Before we even headed up the pass, we passed a field. There had to have been 30 to 40 dead cattle just laying in the field. Obviously it died from having no water and nothing to eat. And just as you're coming into the area, you can just see all this oppression that's against these people, poverty and sickness, again, that's just hard to imagine until you're actually faced with it full on. And then coming into town, and then every 10th, 15th vehicle we'd pass by, and Samuel would point out, these are cartel killers. And then just to think about the oppression that these people had from them. Some of the pictures you'll see behind me of the reservoir we went up there one afternoon for just a quick little hour break, in between some things. And where the road had widened off to go down to the campground that used to be a beautiful campground, and where people would get together and have celebrations on holidays and things like that, where that road wide off, Samuel pointed out, up that road is used to be beautiful ranches, and the cartel came in and took these ranches from these people, and immediately sparked up a fire in me that's still hard for me to put behind me, being a Marine, and I was looking at the guys and I'm like, man, these people are lucky I'm a changed man, because I'd be going back calling up a brigade of recon Marines and SEAL squads and come in here and take these guys out. And then, and I was reminded that, it's not about us. It's not about us taking out the vengeance. It's about God and God's plan and how God works in our lives. And when His will comes to take out that oppression in their lives. One thing that I would ask and encourage all of you to do for these people is to pray for that. Pray for God's hand over that oppression. To lift that from them. I mean, they've got enough against them, let alone to have something evil like this against them as well. And as Brother Greg was sharing, when we were going into churches and listening to Samuel was absolutely amazing. I mean, Samuel was on fire. You could see the Holy Spirit just burning in him, and just every night we'd go home and Samuel could barely talk because his voice was gone from just giving these just heartfelt sermons that the Lord would just push through him. And, we'd have to pray every night that Samuel would get his voice back for the next day so that he could preach more and bring more hope and promise to these people of the Lord. And then going to these services and watching these altar calls, and like Greg was sharing, going up and placing hands on people. I've never done that. I've always kept my prayer in private. I've never really shared my prayer. So like Greg was saying, it was a very odd experience going up and putting your hands on people and praying. But again, just the power of the Holy Spirit just driving you and directing you to go and do these things that you never would have imagined. I mean, like I was saying, I'm a guy that came from a background that never would have done something like this. So I have to just give praise and thanks to Jesus and the Holy Spirit for working in us the way He did. It was just amazing. But, you know, my wife grew up in a church where they'd have altar calls and, you know, they'd pray in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Holly always told me, you know, how awesome it was to watch people slain in the Spirit, as she would put it, you know, and to fall down. And, you know, and I'm thinking, man, I've seen that stuff on TV. That they get pretty kooky with that, you know, and thinking, you know, but like Greg was saying, there was no denying it. There was absolutely no denial of the Holy Spirit's presence and the Holy Spirit overwhelming these people and just knocking them flat over, you know, and Greg and I doing everything we could to catch some of these people. And, you know, I was thinking, oh man, Lord, you got to help my back here. These people are heavy, you know. And so we were talking about it one night and talking with Samuel about it. You know, Samuel's like, hey, you don't need to catch these people. You know, and we're looking at Samuel like, what? Are you kidding us? You know, some of these people were elderly, you know, you know, all the floors in these churches were concrete and tile. And, you know, you're like, how can you let somebody fall over or flat on the concrete? You know, it's going to hurt them. And Samuel's like, no, you just got to trust in the Holy Spirit. You know, if they're faking it, yeah, you bet they're going to get hurt. But, you know, if they're not, if it's a true thing, they're going to be just fine. And it was funny, the next day, on Thursday night, we was the first night when we brought all the churches in the area into middle school, and we had a service. And Greg and I were blessed with the opportunity to give our testimonies. And Samuel, you know, finished up with a just unbelievable sermon that night. And people just came up in hordes after a bit. It took a few minutes for the altar call to take place, but people started coming up to the front. And sure enough, we're sitting there laying our hands on people, praying with people, which I cannot even tell you guys. I mean, my hands were on fire. I mean, you could just feel the Holy Spirit just moving through you. Just the heat on your hands and just, I mean, it was absolutely moving. It was amazing. But I'm sitting there and I'm praying over this lady, and I look over and there's this lady, she's probably about 65 years old. She's laying on the ground. Nobody's behind her. You know, I'm like, oh man, nobody caught her. And sure enough, you know, she gets up about 3-4 minutes later. She's just fine. Bouncing around the room, happy as could be. It was just amazing. And, you know, one of the most probably memorable moments that I had down there of praying for somebody. We went into a woman's home. Her name was Manuelita, and she had broken her ankles. When she came to the door, I mean, we were driving by her house, and she waved at us, and this lady was literally begging from her home. She couldn't, you know, she couldn't get out on the street to ask for help. And we stopped, and we went into her house. But as I was walking in, I noticed, I mean, her legs, her feet were twisted out like this. That's how bad her ankles were broken. And it was just absolutely amazing just to be even able to see this woman walk. And we went in there, and Samuel and her started in this conversation. And Samuel was sharing with us that, you know, her husband was an alcoholic. They were down to their last $10, didn't have any food in the house. She didn't know what to do. And not knowing Spanish very well, I know un poquito, very little. And she started praying with Samuel, and it was like instantly knew exactly what she was praying for. She was praying for Jesus to come into her heart. And it just, you know, it reminded me of when I had asked Jesus to do that for me and how we've witnessed that so much in each other's lives. But absolutely amazing and moving to see that happen in front of us in the fashion that it did. And through the help and the prayers of all of you guys here at Winter Park Christian, we were able to go out and buy that lady groceries and really just make her day, make her week, and gave her an opportunity to go to the doctor the next week. And like I said, you guys, this was just an absolutely powerful trip. As we were getting ready to leave, I looked at Samuel and I said, Samuel, it can't end here. It can't end at this. We need to keep this going. We need to keep moving forward with this. And I would just highly encourage all of you to please pray over this part of our ministry. As I've been sitting at home this week and had time to reflect on our trip and our time together and what we experienced and how a lot of things in my walk culminated. I mean, I've told a lot of people this week that I feel like last week I made a gold medal long jump in my walk with the Lord. Just in the manner that, I mean, He just relit a fire in me and renewed my spirit, and it was awesome. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But as I was sitting this week and reflecting on this trip, the Lord did speak to me in a couple of manners that, yes, as Christians and as, you know, shining the light of God, light of Jesus, we are called to do this in our walk. And, I mean, it helped culminate a lot of things for me in my belief and my faith. But one thing that He laid on my heart yesterday morning was that the second we walk out our door every morning, the second we walk out our door and leave our house, we are called to missions. We are called to pray for one another. We are called to be a strength and a light for one another. And something I've been horrible in my walk. And I'm thankful that the Lord showed this to me and that the Lord has spoken to me in the way that He has. This whole trip wasn't about us. It was about the Lord and how the Lord could use us to glorify Him and to bring hope to other people. So I just encourage you guys this week and in the coming time to just pray for this mission, pray for these people, and God bless all of you, and thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We let these guys go, and they will be preachers pretty soon, man. We'll take the microphone away. When we were going down to Mexico, I knew we were going to have a lot of meetings and stuff. And we start on Monday. I say, guys, you're going to share your testimony to my family. Dahlia's family and my family, we got together. And I say, spend about 25 minutes just sharing how God changed your life and how you became Christians. And pretty soon I had to be telling Pete very often, Pete, you're going to have to share the word tonight. So he was just sharing God and the message to people, and God really used him in a mighty way too. So praise God for a brother.
Bienvenidos, which, hello, gloria a Dios. It's great to see all you guys here. It's great to be a part of the kingdom of God and have the privilege to walk by the Spirit. And Galatians says, walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. And I think about my life when I'm walking, unfortunately, sometimes by the flesh, I'm inward and I'm looking inward and I'm selfish and I don't act as a vessel, and I'm not acting as I'm created to be a conduit for God's blessings to others. But when you experience the blessing of walking by the Spirit and doing what He has called you to do and having ears that are unblocked and opened, it's just such an amazing thing. And I think about Abraham when God made the covenant with him. He says, I will bless you, not so that you hold on to it, but so that you will be a blessing to others. And what a privilege that is, to be a blessing to others. And in turn, you are blessed. It's an amazing thing. Yeah, we experienced a lot down in Mexico. I think the common term or the common word Samuel used was, vamanos, vamanos, come on, come on. And it's like, whoo, from one thing to another, to another, to another. And it's like, wow. So we were just, as Greg said, on a mission from God. It was incredible. We had the privilege of visiting a lot of different people, pastors, and encouraging them. going to homes of people, going to this orphanage slash elderly home, and being involved in a ministry that blessed the churches in this area. As Samuel had touched upon, there had been division, and there still is division amongst the churches. There's not a unity amongst the body. And so we had the privilege on Thursday night and Friday night, through gifts from here, to be able to bless them and bless the churches there. So you'll see pictures of a big gymnasium with chairs and such. And so families came from all different churches, and maybe families who were not united, or pastors who necessarily were not united, and were able to worship the Lord together and put the attention on Him. And it was just a privilege. As was stated, Greg and Jason were both able to share their testimonies, and it was so sweet to see them take steps of faith and share with these people. And then also the second night, we were able to bless them with a dinner, with a meal that we were able to serve to the people. And they had never experienced something like this before in this community. We had food that didn't run out. We had beverages that didn't run out. And the four of us were able to literally serve them. And what a privilege and blessing that was, to be able to come down there. And thanks to the church body here, to be able to support that, to be able to go down there and bless them and say, we're just here because the Lord loves us and He loves you, and we want to be a blessing to you. And what a privilege that was. We did a lot of home visits. The neat thing about that was, here in the States, or here with interactions, it's like, how you doing? Good. Okay, great. See you later. And, it's pretty like, that's just part of our greeting, and you don't really oftentimes get involved in people's lives. The home visits that we went to, we had the privilege of getting involved in people's lives and praying for real needs, because as was stated, they have right in front of their faces a picture of their need for the Lord, and the privilege of it was to pray for those needs. We mentioned the lady with one leg. We were able to pray for her, and it was amazing to see what happened. Her daughter, who had died, she was about maybe early 20s. She was in the hospital 2 hours away, and she had officially died. They were able to revive her. She came back to life and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? I am seeing where I'm heading. I'm going to be with Jesus. You are lacking faith. Trust God and let me go." And we heard that, and we're just like, wow. And through her faith in the Lord and the Lord's Spirit moving through that family, the lives are being transformed to Jesus. It's just incredible. And Samuel had the opportunity to challenge the dad who was sitting across the room, the father. He said, "What do you think about this?" And he said, "I can't deny that the Lord has been working. I've seen it." And he's not there. He hasn't placed his faith in the Lord. But he's like, "I can't deny what I've seen is real." Pretty amazing. And we had those privileges all the time. And I think about that, like, Lord, there's so many needs here in Grand County. They're maybe not visible like this lady who is poor and begging from her door, like, come in. But there are needs not visible but more hidden. And it's really challenging for me to see, like, wow, Peter, I could be so, like, hey, great, everything's good, right? Yeah. But no, there are hurting souls that need the touch of the Lord. And as His Spirit dwells with us, He is able to use you to be a blessing, to be a comforter to these people who need it. Pastors, it was just really neat to meet with these various pastors. A couple struck me, but one in particular who is just fulfilling the Great Commission as he is pastoring this church in his town, but he's traveling about 9 hours away to the native Indians, 9 hours south of him. And he takes his family, and they go from like 6 in the morning to 10 at night just preaching in these different towns. And he said it's actually the church and the response to the gospel down there is just flourishing. In fact, the people, there are more believers down there than he ministers to in the town of Saragossa. So it was really challenging and awesome to see, like, how the Lord's word is just relevant, prevalent, and people acting on it and trusting and walking out in faith in it. Let's see. Yeah, the church. Another benefit on going on a trip like this with fellow brothers is just I think of Psalm 133:1, which talks about the oil how good it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like oil coming, dripping down Aaron's beard onto his robes. And there's just this beautiful thing when you get to the privilege of seeing these guys take steps of faith out. And it's like, right on. I'm just so encouraged by what you're doing, Lord, and how you can see a fellow brother just taking a step out. It's like, okay, I can do that, Lord. Like, you can do that. You can do that through me. You just did it through them. I can take a step out. And it was just really amazing to see the depth of the relationship that just happened, that the Lord did in just a week. Just awesome. Let me think. Let me look at my notes to see what else. Just really, I mean, if we had the time, we could be here all afternoon just sharing with you. The challenge for me as I left there was, first of all, this is an awesome opportunity for the church to enter into. Just a great opportunity to serve and be a blessing to these people down there. Secondly, for me personally, it just challenged me to, like, what am I doing? How am I living my life? Am I living my life with my eyes focused on Jesus with a perspective on eternity? Or am I just going through the motions and consumed with myself? Or, Lord, open my eyes. And I think that's what he did with all of us, is just busted open our hearts and opened our eyes to the reality that he is the same God there as he is here. He can do and is doing the same things here as he is there. And that's my encouragement for you, is it's the same God. It's the same Spirit which dwells with you. He wants to use you mightily. And there are needs in this valley that he wants you to minister through and to these people. Yeah, am I listening? Am I listening to his Spirit? Am I available to him? Am I submitting my life to him? How does this apply to my life here in Grand County? So, it's just an awesome trip, and I would encourage you, if you have the opportunity to do something like this, step out, take that step of faith. The ministry is right here, as Jason said. It's right before us. There are people coming up to us all the time in our circles of influence, and it is powerful. The Lord is awesome. And as I'm thinking about that, there are Timberline students right here, and several of our students who are part of a Bible school at Timberline Lodge. And they're going out. We're sending them out on Friday. They're graduating, but this is the last time that they're going to be here at this service. So I would love to pray as they are carrying that light, as they're carrying the presence of Jesus out to wherever they go. And we'll miss you. So let me pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege it is to be your son. Thank you for the privilege it is to be your children. Thank you for sending your son Christ to pay that which we could not. Jesus, we give you praise and thanks for your life laid down. We thank you that you displayed what it was to live life fully as a man, fully surrendered to your Father. And we give you praise. We thank you, Jesus, for your resurrection, proving that who you said you were, you truly are. And Jesus, that now you sit at your Father's right hand, making intercession for us, continuing to serve us. And God, open our eyes. God, may we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. We thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your care for us. And God, I lift up these students at Timberline as they head out. God, may they be excited about you. Give them a burning passion in their heart to pursue you with everything they have. God, you've created them as light bearers. And I pray, God, that they be shining brightly to the areas of this world where you're taking them. And God, we just pray that their lives would be submitted, that your joy would be overflowing in their lives. And we give you praise and thanks. And I pray for the rest of the congregation. I pray for us here as your people. God, may we lift up praises to you. May we not be shying away from what you want to do. May we be bold and loving to proclaim the goodness of you who have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. God, you've made us your priesthood. You've made us a holy nation. And so may we act like that. May we be who you've called us to be, Lord. And God, it's all by your power. It's all by your Spirit. It's in your name I pray. Amen. And it's our year verse this year is John 15. And it talks about Jesus being the true vine and us being the branches. And he says, that we can do nothing apart from him. He said, abide, dwell, live with me. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's our encouragement today, I think. You know, like, dwell with the one who's created with you, and he will want to work his life in and through you. Thanks.
What an amazing time down there. And as we were finishing, I told the guys, I said, on Friday night, we want to just, after the service, just get the four of us together and start serving people. And we were able to send the pastors to the tables and say, sit down and enjoy food with your families and with your congregations. And they were amazed of it. We were only there to serve, and we were not looking for a special place or for them to serve us, but we were able to serve them and give them food till everyone ate, and then we all sat down with some of the pastors and just shared with them and encouraged them. And on the next day, on Sunday, we met for the last time on a church, and Pete was able to preach, and then I preach again. Church go long over there, 3-4 hours, and as we share again the Word of God, the pastor came out with an envelope, and he said, this is your offering, Pastor Samuel, for you and Pete for sharing the Word of God. And I said, Pastor, we came here to bless you, to support you. We're not looking for an offering. And, you know, God blesses the one who goes and gives more than the one that receives. And it is a blessing to be able to serve people. And my prayer is, Lord, what are you trying to accomplish through us in that area? But also, what are you trying to accomplish in our own hearts when we extend our hands and help other people out there? We went to the most needy, to the poorest, and I mean, there are all kinds of people over there, but we look for the poorest people over there and the most needy, because that's where God called us to be. And as we finish today, you know, there might be something in your life, struggles. Sometimes we hide the struggles and the needs we have with the resources that the financial ability has given us. And sometimes we kind of put a face that is not real instead of saying, Lord, I am needy. I'm desperate for you. Come and work in my life. And God can transform your need and make it a place where he is fully working in your life. And that shall be our prayer this morning as we finish. And let's bow for prayer, and let's ask God to guide us and to just give us wisdom and vision as our worship team comes and leads us in our last song and humble before the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we went down there, you really showed us that you can work through anyone who really is available to you. And you, Lord, really put your hand on whatever we did down there. And we know that it wasn't us, Lord. It was just your mercy and all the people who's been praying for us. And Lord, it is my prayer that you, Lord, bring vision to the pastors down there, that they be able to fight oppression and tribulation, Lord, in your name, and dwell in you at all times. And Lord, also as we pray this morning, I ask you with all of my heart that you bring us to understand what is your call for us in this ministry, in this outreach and missions, Lord, and that you put in our hearts the heaviness of being able to serve you at all times, Lord, and be humble before you. And also, Lord, there are needs in our midst. The mission starts, as Jason said, in the doorstep of our house and in our neighborhoods, Lord, and the people that we know around us, Lord, and you called us to serve them. You called us to share the gospel with them, Lord, to be able to minister to them. And Lord, give us boldness and grace and the ability, Lord, to step out of our comfort zone and just share with them and really see what their needs are. And Lord, to not be superficial, but to talk to them directly to their hearts and say, Jesus can transform your need and he can be available to you at this very moment. Lord, we need you right here. We need you in our midst. We need you to work in our homes and in our families and in this community. So we ask you with all of our hearts, come and guide us and help us. And just reveal to us the things that need to be done. And also, Lord, bring freedom in the needs that we have. Bring abundance. And just that throughout our broken heart, we can find your spirit and just be obedient to you and fulfill your work in our lives. Lord, bring a revival. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Touch us with your presence. We look for you, Lord, and we beg for you this morning.